your host, Jay Montgi.
And we are back over at the Light Sport Mall on a beautiful Friday afternoon at Hero Adventure 2011. And a beautiful day to be chatting with folks about light sport airplanes. And Jan Friedrich, did I pronounce that right, Jan?
Yes, my name is Jan Friedrich, and I'm from the Czech Republic.
Okay, tell us about what you do for the light sport aircraft world.
Yeah, we are trying to achieve to have a global LSA standard. I'm coming from the Light Aircraft Association of the Czech Republic, which is responsible for the microlights in the Czech Republic. And from these microlights, the LSAs were born from the European side. And that's why we were so successful, because the microlights were so advanced that it was easy to adapt them to the LSA rules. And in the same time, I'm also the chairman of the LAMA Europe, which is the organization, sister organization of the US LAMA. And we are lobbying EASA and the European Commission to get the same set of rules like you have here. It's paradox that the European are so successful in the United States, but we are not, until recently, were not able to legally fly LSA's machines back in Europe. That's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is strange. But you are making progress, it sounds like.
Yeah, the progress is unfortunately really slow, because there is difficult to find out who is the responsible person, because the structure of the European Union and the bureaucracy is quite difficult to understand. But generally speaking, recently EASA has adopted the CSLSA, which is the airworthiness code for LSA, which is based on ASTM standard, which means that they accepted the idea of ASTM standard. Unfortunately, what they did not accept it is the idea of self-certification or in self-declarative system. So back in Europe, we have the heavy certification system, which will...
Similar to our FAR Part 23 here.
Yes, you need to have a design organization approval, production organization approval, and that's really heavy stuff for the small guys.
So how did you pull all this together? How did you end up finally getting to the right place to get this done?
Oh, I think it took us about 6 years. There was a working group within EASA, which was called MDM32, and some of us were members of that, and we were talking, proposing, they were rejecting, and finally, small bit appears to work, and that's that airworthiness code. But we need to have, in order to have a successful category back in Europe, we need to have in balance the initial airworthiness, continuing airworthiness, licensing, and operation. If one of these is wrong, the system will not work, and we will have no success.
So tell us, what do you do within Europe? You said you have two jobs, you wear two hats. What's your other job?
Oh, my other job beside LAMA Europe is basically the same, but under the head of the Light Aircraft Association of the Czech Republic. The Light Aircraft Association of the Czech Republic is the competent authority for the microlights, or for, we call them sports flying equipment, because it's not just microlight. We are responsible for the aerodynamically controlled hang gliders, trikes, paragliders, powered paragliders, ultralight gliders, etc. So, and we are the FAA for these back in Czech Republic. So we do the certification, and
we
issue the licenses. So it's a main difference. In if we have that system in Europe, then we already have the LSA.
Okay. So you're trying to tie all these loose ends together and make it work a little bit smoother.
Yes, I think it's necessary to have at least one common technical standard, because the air is same on the both sides of the ocean. The law of physics are the same. So it's just the opinion of some people that we need to have a special rules for Europe and special rules for United States, and it doesn't make sense. For example, 65% of LSAs in the United States is coming from overseas. So the market is global, then the rules must be global as well.
And ASTM, when you say the ASTM standards, and tell us what that acronym is. You call it AERSA?
No, the ASTM is...
The group.
EASA.
EASA. That's it.
European Aviation Safety Agency. And it's sitting in Germany, in Cologne, and it's responsible for the aircrafts, except aircrafts which are exempted from their rules, which are aircrafts so-called Annex II, and they are on the national aviation member states' responsibility. And that's the luck for the microlights, because if we are under EASA, there will be not many microlights, like there is no many LSA. You know, so we basically need some lighter regime for the LSA in Europe.
Okay, so structure-wise, you call them microlights. We don't have that terminology here. Would that a microlight be considered the same as what we call a light sport aircraft, or are we talking like a Part 103 ultralight?
No, we are not talking about none of these. Basically, we could say that the European microlights are the predecessors of the LSAs. From our point of view, our LSAs, which are so successful here, were born from our microlights, because basically the main difference is only the maximum takeoff weight. Back in Europe, we have 450 kilogram, which is roughly 1,000 pounds, and here you have 1,320 pounds. So that's the only difference. If I put the LSA for United States and microlight for Czech side by side from the same manufacturers, you will not see any difference.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Got it. Understand. So, tell us where we're going this year, going forward. Now that Europe has accepted the ASTM standards, what comes next?
Well, it's a tricky question, because I think we are still going nowhere. Because, as I said at the beginning, that CSLSA is just the code. So, but the manufacturer still need this heavy system. He needs to have a design organization approval from EASA, production organization approval. And while he will be doing that, some of the smaller family businesses will run out of the business, because they will not have enough money for that. So currently it's going to the system that maybe there will be three or five companies in the world which will be able to fulfill these EASA requirements, and the rest will not qualify. And I think that's bad. We need to have a much more like we have here in the United States.
Well, and like you said, a lot of these aircraft over here at the LSA Mall do come from Europe. A lot of them come from the Czech Republic, don't they?
Yes. In fact, as I said, out of roughly at the moment, there is 2,300 registered SLSA. The SLSA means Special Light Sport Aircraft Company built. Out of them, 560 is coming from the Czech Republic, which is 26% of the market, which is quite substantial. In fact, the first SLSA certified in the United States, the historically first, was the Czech Sportstar from the Evector.
Oh, yes. I've seen that aircraft around, and it's very popular. They've got a couple of them here, I think,
yes,
right here on the mall. And it's a nice little airplane. I'm starting to see them at general aviation airports all around. So
yeah, basically, these machines actually have the sometimes even better flying characteristic and performances than your classical general aviation aircraft. So that's why they are so popular.
Well, and cost, too. I mean, light sport aircraft are much more affordable than today's standard general aviation aircraft. You go out to buy a brand new Cessna, and you're going to pay a significant amount more than what you can buy an LSA for.
Yes, but I think that that's true if we will be comparing the new prices. But unfortunately, if you will be comparing the new price of the LSA with the used plane, then you will have better chance with the used plane. Of course, with the LSA, you have the few advantages. One of them is that you can use the automotive fuel, so the cost is down, and also the fuel consumption is roughly one-third or at least one-half of the bigger planes.
Tell us about flying what you call a microlight or a light sport aircraft in Europe, in the Czech Republic specifically. Is it hard to do?
No, actually, it's not as hard as to get the classical general aviation. That's why we have about, about 2,000 microlight pilots, the aerodynamically controlled planes with the fixed wings. So it's quite popular. You need to fly at least minimum 20 hours, then to take the practical test and theoretical test, and then you can go.
So here in America, you just go out to your plane, do your pre-flight startup, taxi out, take off, fly around, come back, and you have to stay out of restricted airspace, etc. There's rules. Do you have to make some special request to fly in the Czech Republic?
No. It's exactly the same as you said. There is a lot of private-owned airfields and strips, and basically you can follow the same path like you have it here in the United States. You should stay away from the restricted area. You need to communicate if the radio is requested, but principally you can fly without the radio, without the transponder, and it's fun. It's easy.
Oh, that sounds good. How about landing fees and that type of thing?
There are two different types of landing fees. If you go to the regular airport, then the landing fees are calculated by the weight, and there are some groups of these fees. So then the microlight has disadvantage because the first group is up to, I don't know, 1.5 ton or something like that. But the fee on a small airfield depends on the owner. It could be nothing, it could be $1, it could be $3, it could be $10, depends on the area.
Huh, okay. So it's not a government fee then, it's actually an owner fee.
It's an owner fee, it's the airport fee.
Okay. So it's a landing fee, basically.
It's a landing fee, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, tell us a little bit more about, we have about 2 more minutes here before we go to break. I see you have some pamphlets here. One of them is Czech Aviation 2011. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's our catalog, which we, Light Aircraft Association, is preparing for every year to support our industry. And it's basically showing the stage of the Czech aviation industry every year. So you can see that the book is quite thick. It shows, it has 68 pages. And I think there is not many countries around the world which is able to produce book like that. All these planes which are in this book is possible to buy currently. So there is no dummy things or just marketing bubbles like that. Any plane you pick here, in theory, you would be able to receive it in some reasonable time.
Aha, that's great.
For example, you didn't know that there are 4 manufacturers of ballistic rescue system in the world. 3 of them are from the Czech Republic. Our paraglide manufacturers are also on the top of the market. So, for the Czechs, the aviation means a lot. Even some people don't realize that. Even within the Czech Republic, some politicians also don't realize that we have a strong aviation industry.
It seems to me that it's a big employer. I mean, all this industry employs a lot of people.
Our small manufacturing, they are roughly from the family size up to 250 employees. So I would guess that all around in the Czech Republic, in the aviation industry, is something like maybe 10,000 people employed, because we have also bigger manufacturers like Aero Vodochody, Lečkunovice, etc. So, but they are not in this segment of the market. But you can see a lot of L-39s here. They are Czech, so we were quite successful. It's interesting. The Czech army at the moment has 16 L-39. That's it.
Huh.
One is in private hands. So back in Czech, we have 17 L-39. I heard that here in the United States, there is 450 of them.
Yeah, and a lot of them are here on
the
showgrounds.
I think yesterday most of our army was flying yesterday.
Oh. Well, Jan, thank you very much for joining us on EA Radio. I appreciate your time. And our listeners appreciate hearing all about LSA in Europe and in the Czech Republic.
Thank you very much.
So, J-Mont G, we are on the fly over at the LSA Mall. And we have another 15 minutes to go before we wrap up for today. So stick around. We'll be right back, and we'll talk to a fellow by the name of Charles Stites from the Able Flight Organization. J-Mont G, we're on the fly.